As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Solomon's Song, chapter 4 and verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and the 16th verse. I will tell you what I feel from a pastor's viewpoint in announcing this subject. You may sometimes wonder why certain subjects are taken. Is there some particular purpose? And we do humbly hope there is. And I have in my mind this thought. I wonder how many among you, dear people, in our course of truth at this time, who are indeed sinners born again, are prepared to say to Jesus Christ, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Your heart is, or should be, his garden. The new heart, the new nature, which was implanted when you were born again. But if you look within and weigh matters up as to your everyday life, and how matters really are according to how you feel between your soul and God, if the beloved should come into your garden, do you really feel he would find his pleasant fruits there? Or would it rather be applicable to you and me to say this before God? Lord, my heart a desert vast, thy reviving hand requires. Sin has laid my vineyard waste, overgrown with thorns and briars. I read to you, it is a great word, many a time it has searched me and tried me. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And now, if the hallmark of being a disciple is to bear much fruit in our lips and lives as we journey on day by day, where do you and I come in? Measured by that solemn standard, you will say, as far as I am concerned, I must humble myself before God and cry, oh my God, I am ashamed. I blush to lift up my face unto thee. Yea, all of us who hope we are born again, we have to come back to the starting point. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And yet, who can tell but what in the opening up of this subject, you and I may find after all, poor as our religion and our soul's experience seems to be, that we do possess, by the grace of God, a living interest therein. And now, in the first half of the text, Jesus Christ, the church's living head, is speaking. The church of Christ is looked upon as a garden set apart for God, and he and he alone can cultivate it. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Then the church answers, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And so the church of Christ is likened to a garden, the garden of God. And while you look round the world as it is, and it really does seem a vast wilderness, yet there are poor sinners born again whose hearts are designed to be and are the garden of God. And you may have some evidence that God has done this for you if you said amen deep down in your heart to what you have sung before the sermon began. Quickened by thee and kept alive, I'd flourish and bear fruit. My life I'd from thy sap derive, my vigor from thy root. This question of fruit bearing is very solemn, and it will always be very searching to poor sinners born again, for they look within and so often feel to be the opposite of what they know they ought to feel and desire to feel. They can only lament, can ever God dwell here? You realize the older you grow, which you know every man the plague of his own heart. And when you look within and examine yourselves, you cannot feel as you would like to feel, that your heart can be the garden of God. And yet, in the midst of it all, God is at work, and sooner or later you will have the evidence of it in his dealings with you, that the spices will flow out in your soul's experience, and that will be the evidence that your heart is the garden of God and that you are a plant of the Father's right hand planting. And now in the context, you have a little description about the garden, the church of Christ, and it says, a garden enclosed. The margin is, a garden barred. I like that word, enclosed. We are a garden walled around, chosen and made peculiar ground, a little spot enclosed by grace within the world's wide wilderness. So our hymn writer says, and it is a great mercy when you can feel that you are indeed enclosed by grace. If you and I at any time find the spices flowing out, you will always have to say, when they do, by the grace of God, I am what I am. As you grow older in the life divine, more and more you have to realize, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And now this garden, I have told you, is the Church of Christ. And it is a garden enclosed. And the enclosing of it was made before the world was built. A time was born when God the Father, in his eternal purposes, ordained a number which no man can number, who should be saved with an everlasting salvation. And it was enclosed then, every plant to be planted in the garden was known in all details of what the plant should be and where it should be planted as time rolled on to grow in the garden of God to the glory of him whose garden it is. Because God has said, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. And so we may say, it is a garden enclosed by eternal purposes. And being enclosed, you may say, of all those who have the mercy, great is the mercy to be planted therein, sinners born again, in every state secure, kept as Jehovah's eye, 'tis well with them while life endure, and well when called to die. Enclosed by eternal purposes, enclosed by everlasting love. And whatever you may feel about your religion and what you are, with a name on a church roll, or one that should have a name on a church roll, seeing you profess what you do and desire to worship God aright, you will have to realize, as you journey on, it is only as God works in you to will and to do that you can feel as you want to feel, and that the spices may flow out. A garden enclosed. Enclosed by everlasting love. Every plant in the garden, growing therein, realizes sooner or later, good it is if it is sooner, but it is still good if it should be later. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And however poor these plants may look, as you view what you believe is the Church of Christ, the garden of God, you must remember how God views the garden. And he says this in the word of his grace, I search the heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you have a thought deep down in your heart this Sabbath morn, how glad you would be if you could bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of God and hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. God looks down into your heart, and I have been glad of this word many times. It is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to what a man hath not. And it can be said to you, as it was said to David long ago, thou doest well to have it in thy heart to build a house for me. And God says concerning you, thou doest well to have it in thy heart that you would be, you desire to be, a plant growing to my honor and glory, and that in everyday life you desire to bring forth the spices as the evidence that your religion is that of which I am the author. And then there is just another thought here, a garden enclosed. And now this garden is enclosed by almighty power. Yes, and what a mercy that is, for it needs almighty power to enclose it, otherwise it would be overrun by earth and hell, and who can tell what might happen to it. But it is enclosed by almighty power, so that while you look round the world at the present time and see hell itself let loose therein, for that is what it really amounts to, with all the chaos and confusion you observe, whichever way you look to earth's remotest bounds, yet every plant in this garden is enclosed by almighty power. Wherever that plant, wherever that poor sinner born again is living, in a sphere ordained of God, where he or she shall be, almighty power is there. Who is he that shall harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And even if the enemies seem to sometimes gain ground, and there are those hundreds of thousands in the world at large at the present time taught of God, who are yet displaced persons and persecuted for righteousness' sake, and it does seem as if the enemy has gained some ground upon them, but you may be sure of this, that where they are plants that are bringing forth spices to the honor and glory of God, and they are witnessing for God and godliness as grace is given to them to do so. And now the garden then is enclosed. Enclosed by eternal purposes, enclosed by everlasting love, enclosed by almighty power. And there is a pretty description here. I use the word pretty advisedly. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy gardens, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor, with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, streams from Lebanon. Wonderful is the picture of this garden of God. And I want you to observe this. In this garden of God, there is variety. Some are referred to as trees, but it is also said, thy plants. And now, while there is a great variety in the garden, there is harmony. And that is, all the plants which are referred to by name do listen, are bitter in their taste, but they're all fragrant to smell. Calamus is referred to, and we are told that scents the air while it is growing. And that should be a word for you to ponder in your heart, for it means as you and I live our lives and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, that it might be seen in our lips and lives, there are the spices flowing out. And now we come to the garden itself, and the means whereby the Blessed Spirit of God cultivates it. There is a word that says this, ye are God's husbandry. And our text tells us, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. And oh, the response, that you and I might be helped by grace to make it. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And now we look first of all at the north wind, and that sets forth tribulation. The south wind sets forth sanctification. There is a great distinction between the north wind and the south wind in its effects. The north wind, setting forth tribulation, is a wind that is cleansing, searching, powerful. It is needful. And God ordains that the north wind should come into our lives. Tribulation. The north wind blows upon our garden. And it searches us. It tries us. It brings us down very low, sometimes to make us wonder what we are and where we are in things divine. And when it blows upon our garden, as a rule, it means tribulation. It may be it comes to you. God lays affliction upon you. Or it may come to those God has given you in your family circle. But whenever the north wind blows, it always brings tribulation in some form or another. And that brings you down to this. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Some of us have our remembrances along life's way. When the north wind has blown upon us, and we have been brought very low thereby, I always think of that time in my life when I had to give up the printing trade through contracting lead poisoning after climbing up very high in that profession and hoping it might be my life work to be a printer. And then the north wind came, tribulation came with it, and I was brought down very low and had to begin my life over again in my early 20s. And I found it needed much grace to be still and know that God was ordaining my life and working out his purposes for me. And yet, by his grace, I was helped to be submissive to his will, and I have lived to see what his purposes were for me in closing one door and then in his own time to open another door, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ and fill the pastorate I have so long filled under Union Chapel roof. But when I was 23 years old, the tribulation seemed very keen and very searching, and I did not know then I should be made a minister, although I had thoughts concerning it. But I did not know what God had in store for me, but I can assure you I felt it to be the north wind. Very searching, very powerful it was, and it brought me down to rock bottom before God. And at that time I learned what is the foundation truth of our most holy faith: salvation is of the Lord. Awake, O north wind. And now the great thing is, when it begins to blow, when the tribulation comes, and you can see it coming, when you see the effect of it, whether it comes to you with affliction or adverse circumstances, whatever God may ordain, the north wind shall blow into your life. The great thing is, if you can say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And humble yourself under his mighty hand in all his dealings, that you may feel he is working out his purposes for you, and that you can be still and know that he is God. Oh, to be able to feel then, Lord, I would indeed submit, gladly yield my all to thee. What thy wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for me. And now when you get that feeling, submission to the will of God, the north wind, your trouble still remains, your affliction is not yet healed, but the north wind is dying down, and the south wind is now beginning to blow, and that is a soft wind, a quieting wind, a warming wind. You remember it says in the Word of God, how thy garments are warmed by the south wind, and your mind is quieted. And it is a wonderful thing to feel. I hope some of you have felt it at times. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And come thou south. And when it comes, how glad you are. To feel a calm in your mind and to realize it is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Oh, do you pray, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. In the word of God, the Holy Spirit is likened to the wind. You remember the Saviour said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Mark that word. It does not blow by chance anywhere. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Oh, it is a wonderful privilege to feel the blessed Spirit blowing upon your spirit as the south wind. And come thou south. I said it set forth sanctification. The north wind sets forth tribulation. The south wind sanctification. And that means that you can feel before God with whom you have to do, thou art our potter. We're the clay. And it is a wonderful feeling to be the subject of thy ways, O Lord, with wise designer framed upon thy throne above, and every dark and bending line meets in the center of thy love. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. And now I want just to name a few of these spices that will flow out when the south wind blows, following the good the north wind has done for you in bringing you down at Jesus' feet, a humble suppliant. For that is what the north wind really does. And troubles do not come into our lives by chance or haphazard. No. God in his infinite mercy sends us this trouble or that because he regards us as a plant of his right hand planting. And his great concern is that you and I should bear fruit to his honor and glory. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. And now these spices flow out in a twofold way. They flow out before God. It is good when they do. And it is also good when they flow out before man. And I may say that these spices are very, very precious. And they are that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven how wonderful and how precious it is to feel it. Godly sorrow for sin. Repentance unto life. When you were found at Jesus' feet, like the man in the gospel, clothed and in a right mind. When you can do this, you cannot always do it. You know there is the privilege to do it, but you need the spices to flow out to do it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, repentance unto life is a very precious spice, and we should like to feel it flowing out much more often than we feel to do. I like how it flowed out with David when he said, I will be sorry for my sins. And that is just how you feel. You look back over your life and it seems a long succession of sins in thought, word and deed, sins of omission and sins of commission, and you feel very disheartened in looking upon it. And then how glad you are if the south wind should blow and your heart is made meek, broken, contrite before God, and repentance flows forth. I will be sorry for my sins. And you feel then no sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face. There is also the spice of faith in God. And without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek Him. And now it is a great thing, a much greater thing than some of you may realize. I'm not fitting any caps on, I'm just telling you the truth. It is a great thing to be a believer. Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell. Who can give us faith? Ay, but when the south wind blows, oh, so softly upon your spirit, and you were found before God, you can appeal to Him, the majesty of heaven. We believe and are sure Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I have looked at one word of the Saviour's many times. I have told it to you many times. I tell you again, be not afraid, only believe. And now when the south wind blows, you will have this petition, Lord, increase our faith to leave all our life with Thee, to arrange as shall be in accordance with Thy holy will, and by Thy grace enable us so to live. The spices flow out, and you and God meet together on friendly terms. Not only so, then the spice of hope flows out too. And you feel it is good hope through grace. The saints possess the fruit of Jesus' righteousness and by His Spirit given. Oh, sometimes the spice of hope seems very low. Yet, it still flows out, here a little, and there a little. It flows out like this. Cold as I feel this heart of mine, yet, since I feel it so, it yields some hope of life divine, however low. But oh, when the south wind blows, oh, so softly in your soul's feelings, then hope in God springs up and you feel the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. But then there is also the spice of prayer. And how good it is when that flows out. It may not always flow out in words. And you must not be overmuch cast down if you cannot always feel as you would like to feel when you try to pray with words, and you do not always feel out of the abundance of the heart the mouth is speaking. I have come to this conclusion along life's way, that there may be much more prayer in us than we often realize, because prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast, and you have your thoughts welling up, and they are the spices. There are prayers that you think, which you cannot put into words, as you're going about, filling your sphere in everyday life, whatever that may be, but in the multitude of your thoughts within you. You were like Mary, and she pondered all these things in her heart. And when you analyze your thoughts, you find they are spices flowing out. And what do you sing? The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. And so the spice of prayer does flow out, sometimes with prayers not put into words, but they are nevertheless the effort of the Spirit of God within you, His blessed work. The spices are flowing out, and it is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. And how good it is when the spice of prayer and praise together flow out. Remember that word I have quoted, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Oh, how good and how precious and pleasant it is when you feel the spice of gratitude to God. Good Mr. Tiptaft used to say, God is so pleased with gratitude, he gets so little of it. You think that over, and then analyze your life and see how much God has got from you as you have journeyed on. The spices of gratitude, thanksgiving, praise, to acknowledge your deep indebtedness to God and not to let His mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. The spice of gratitude. To say thank you to God. To count your blessings. To record His mercies. To join with the psalmist Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The time has soon come to the Amen. There is also the spice of contentment. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. This is the great trouble in our land at the present time. You see, the great majority of people, as you meet them, you can tell by their countenances they are discontented. And it is of hell. And it is working against God and godliness in our land. But for you, being a plant in the garden of God, there must be this spice flowing out to be contented with what God has ordained for you to be and to do. It means submission to the will of God. Then there is also the spice of love. And he that loveth is born of God. And what does godly John say also? He that loveth God, let him love his brother also. And that does not mean just his brother by a natural relationship. No. It means this in another way of expressing it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that means to do this. As ye have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially they that be of the household of faith. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. The spice of love. There is also the spice of obedience to what saith the Scriptures, the commandments of God, to show whose you are and whom you serve. And I can just mention this, and that is the spice of zeal. When I was young in the ministry, I used to hear so much about having zeal, not according to knowledge, but it was ingrained in my mind. There was also a zeal according to knowledge. And it is said of Jesus Christ, and you can read it for yourself, where he evidenced it, when he made a scourge of small cords and drove them out of the temple, the money changers, and did what he, as verily man, verily God, alone could do. And his disciples remembered, it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. And there is a zeal wherein the spices flow out, wherein you find in your heart a concern to do whatever you can for the cause of God and his truth, and to show at all times whose you are and whom you serve. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And I hope you will be prepared to join with the pastor and say with the hymn writer, smile me into fruit, or chide, if no milder means would do. But at whatever cost it is, may the north wind blow and the south wind into our lives, that in the ultimate issue, our beloved may come into his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. Amen.